kind of takes on new meaning now.
This one's for you, Bill.
This one's for you, Bill. All right. He's doing the ranty intro to this show, the Freedom Fiends.
This is the Freedom Fiends. I got it. Broadcasting from Pop Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studio. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin front of statism out of your head. Can you feel it?
Is
it
working?
Can you feel it, Michael and Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, I can feel it. Excellent. And I am Jeremy, and as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a PIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at PIPCOT.org.
Yes, which is it is similar to the not yet built peaceful parenting site that Jeremy's going to start called BIPTOT.org. You should do that. You should start a blog. Call it biptot.org. I'll help you set it up, and you can just blog, you know, with, about things you learn while parenting.
What do you think? Yeah, I could do that. That's one of those things. Actually, I said I was going to do for a long time. Well, not necessarily blog, but I was going to write, you know, more like write stuff so my children would have something to like remember me later on. Yeah. I just never got around to it.
My parents used to make videotapes. If you're reading this, I'm dead.
Kind of just like a journal type thing to be like, this is your daddy. Your daddy wasn't so crazy. No matter what everybody else told you,
they're not going to read it. Kids don't
I don't know.
Have to do it as a podcast. All right, so
I got that too, man. Yeah. I have an archive for to leave for them now.
Yeah, so we're talking about a lot of things here today. How you doing, Phil? Did you find some statistics yet to back up our rants?
Not a lot, just a little bit. So I got
one. Can you look for something? Well, we're bearing lead if you say what it is. Can you look up percentage of young boys drugged in school versus young girls, because I think that would be a statistic if it exists. So
how about ADD diagnostics?
Yeah. So, and you know, find it'd be better to find something from the psychiatric industrial complex rather than some ranty blog making claims. You know, give their numbers
like mine would be.
Yeah, like yours, would be. like the future blog biptots.org.
Yes. Yet to be started.
Yeah. So
finding the really good stuff takes probably too much time.
No, it doesn't. Just find some stats. I don't care if they're accurate. We just need some stats.
We just need numbers, Phil. Just pick numbers.
Numbers. Sounds smart, like Bill O'Reilly would have done.
You're a statistician. People will trust you.
There's people go, yeah. Do you have a PhD? They'll trust you more.
I do not, no.
Do you have a master's degree?
I got a PhD for you. Oh, wait a
bachelor's
minute.
Bachelor's, associate. my college diploma is a certificate printed in Microsoft Word that has no, like, doesn't transfer. It's not, well, it is accredited, but it's, like, not. So I flunked out of college when I was like 18.
Have a diploma?
No, I didn't get a diploma from that. I flunked out.
Oh.
But I went to, you know, I flunked out because I was too busy sitting in the library learning rather than going to classes.
Was that the year of Monty Python? And what was the
album? So I spent what I did was I got kicked out of high school, out of boarding school for calling the headmaster a fat, bald, overtly Christian old fart in a letter to Mick Jagger that got returned unopened, and they opened it during the summer.
I love that story.
They asked me not to come back. I was writing Mick Jagger telling him to buy the school and make it a cool place, and I didn't know Mick Jagger's number, so I sent it to John Lennon, figuring they were friends, and he'd get it to him. I sent it to the Dakota Building in New York.
Well, you know, makes sense.
And you know, Mick Jagger, care of John Lennon at the Dakota Building, did not get delivered. So it came back, and I actually, you know, like, made some phone calls. This is pre-internet, so I had to, like, call to get the address for the Dakota Building. I called the Dakota Building and put a bunch of quarters into a payphone to get the address for it. Oh, no, you know what I did? I called, I paid 50 cents. It was 50 cents back then to call, like, Nationwide Information, and I paid that and said, you know, what's the phone number and address for the Dakota Building? You could get that back then. So, And got returned on open, got kicked out of school. Then where are we going? What happened? They didn't drug me. This is before drugging.
They just asked you not to come back again.
Yeah. Where were we going? Oh, college. Yeah.
What happened? Yes, college.
So,
yeah.
So instead, this is between 11th and 12th grade in the summer. So, I went back, I didn't know what to do. So my parents were like, you have to do something. Can't get back at school. Did not go on my record. They asked me not to come back, which meant if I'd gone back, they would have kicked me out. So, I went back. I called my high school guidance counselor for the school in my town that I hadn't gone to since I was in seventh grade, and made an appointment. And he met me at the school, and the principal was there. Like, the principal's not usually there in the summer. These guys aren't there in the summer, but the principal was in his office, and then they brought me into the guidance counselor. And I think they'd had a powwow. Like, we don't want this guy coming back. You know, I was almost kicked out of grade school because I was challenging teachers when they were wrong. You know, like they said, oh, a mile is less than a kilometer. And I'm like, no, it's not, like that kind of stuff. And so they didn't want me to come back. So they said that there was this thing called the pre-entrance program, or PEP, whereby I would go to the community college 10 miles away and take, you know, a history class, a science class, an English class, and a PE class, and I would get concurrent, like double credit. I got high school credit and got my diploma and also got college credit. So at the end of the year, at the end of the college year, I went back to the high school and put on a gown and graduated with people I hadn't seen in, 4 years, 5 years. So the only other person that had this done, they told me, was Natalie Merchant, who was not yet famous as the singer in 10,000 Maniacs. But she went to the same high school as me, and she was a handful and really smart. So they sent her to college, too. And it worked out fine. The first year, I did really well. And the second year, I was like, wait, I don't have to go to class. So I did. I had a radio broadcast class, and he was sick of me anyway. So he said, hey, why don't you do an independent study? We have a little recording studio here. We'll let you record something and write a little paper about it, a couple pages, and then, you know, that'll be your class. So I got my last semester there, I got 4 Fs and an A plus. I got the A plus in the independent study on radio broadcasting, which was why I went to the recording studio, which was basically a broom closet that was not in. So the first thing I did was hang up blankets. I was like, you know, the audio in here is horrible. Bad audio is a hate crime. So I hung up some old blankets, and because it was literally like a tiled closet, you know, like probably eight feet by 6 feet. It was a jail cell that I sentenced myself to. And I made this piece of music that I found recently on a cassette. My sister found it. I put it up. It's on michaelwdean.com, and it's called The Solstice Suite. If you Google The Solstice Suite, it's on there, and, you know, I play all the instruments on it. It's trippy, you know, kind of meditation, stoner music. And, you know, it has 4 movements, 1 for each of the seasons, and it rotates. It comes back at the beginning, inspired by Vivaldi. So, you know, my last semester there, the other 4 classes I flunked out of because I spent those classes going to the school library and listening with headphones every day to Aqualung by Jethro Tull on vinyl, because vinyl was what they had, and watching Monty Python In Search of the Holy Grail on beta VHS. It was 2 or 3 tapes, I remember. I'd have to stop and put it in. And, yeah, that's how I spent my college. So what was the question? What do you want to know?
Well, I forgot.
PhD.
Well, yeah, I think that's the way we started.
I asked the question
about the record because I forgot which album.
We were talking about who has what degrees. So then,
yes,
you know, I flunked out of college. Then when I was 30 and got off drugs, I went back to college to quote unquote learn a trade, which was basically just learning Microsoft Office, learning to type, and learning to write a resume and do job interviews, like mock interviews. So it was like basically a secretary class at City College in San Francisco, and it was free. And I did it, and it was great. And I got A's, and I got a scholarship, and all sorts of, you know, scholarship for rent, and kicked butt with it. And it was kind of the beginning of, you know, then I went and worked as a temp in offices wearing a tie for a couple of years, and then slowly worked toward making a living doing my own stuff. And I've done that since the year 2000, writing books, making movies, podcasts, donations, give me money, hashtag, things like that. So, yeah, it's all good. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So what's your degree, Jeremy?
I was going to say, you know, you're kind of like, you know, being self-deprecating, saying your degree is, basically a printout. At least you have one of those. I never even finished college. I went three separate times for three different attempts at three different degrees and never bothered to finish any of them. And the last one, I just ended up stumbling into my business, and I've been doing that for the last 12 years. So I think it worked out all right.
I had a high school diploma, you know, because I went back and got one through the school. But I burned it. I just remembered. I burned my high school diploma at a party while I was trying to, I think I was trying to impress some girl. It was when I was like 17 and this girl was like 16. I just finished high school and I had my own house. Me and three friends rented a basement apartment that was horrible from my dad for $30 a week. And I sometimes couldn't even come up with the 10 bucks. Like I had to go out and, you know, like wash windows somewhere for a day to make the rest, you know, the last $4 of the $10 a month, my rent, a week that my rent was. And there was this girl and there were like five or six people in the room. And I was like telling her why education, you know, self-education is great and degree education is stupid and she shouldn't bother going to college. And I think I was trying to talk her into quitting high school and not going to college. And I was like, see, this is my diploma. I'm going to burn it. And I took out a lighter and you know, said, follow me out on the porch. I'm not going to burn this in the house. It'll smoke too much. But, you know, we all went out on the porch, and they kind of applauded while I burned my high school diploma, and this girl was kind of horrified. So. Punk, man. That was punk. That was before punk.
Guessing it did not have the effect it was supposed to on her.
Yeah. So what's your master's, Phil?
It's in applied statistics.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like astronaut stuff. That's like rocket science.
No, it's not.
I do remember, though, on The Simpsons, when Homer goes into space, the three astronauts he goes with are... you know, they're a colorful bunch. We've dubbed them the Three Musketeers. This one is a mathematician. This one's a different kind of mathematician. And this one is a statistician. Do you guys know that most FBI agents are either attorneys or accountants?
That doesn't surprise me.
What's that, Phil?
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, because think about what they do. I mean, a lot of it is following the money. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we got a show here. We're going to talk about the wussification of the Western male. We want to call it the real title of the article, which is the wussification that starts with a P, the pussycat.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Yeah. I'm reading the abstract of a psychological journal.
I don't know what that is. Well, our listeners might not. What is an abstract?
Oh, an abstract? Summary, it's a front-end summary. So
it's at the top.
Right? Yeah, it's like the elevator pitch for an academic article.
Nice. Speaking of statistics, I'm importing the statistics from my CPAP machine and pulse oximeter using something called Sleepyhead, which is software made by my Australian friend, Mark Watkins. I don't know if you guys have ever seen me interact with Mark Watkins. He's a good guy. And he made this free software. Like, basically, before this, to get the stats from your CPAP, or if you buy one of these $100 pulse oximeters, like you had to have your doctor do it and pay him like $100, you know, you borrow the equipment, bring it home, and then you have to pay $100 for your doctor to interpret the results. And I found out that you can just buy the pulse oximeter for $100 and the card is in the back of the CPAP. And with this software, you can see, you know, what your oxygen level is, what your breath level is, when you stop breathing, how many times the CPAP, you know, the ASV kicked in and made you breathe. things like that. So thanks. Thanks, Mark Watkins. And sweet. It's all about statics. Statuses. Statistics. Thank you. Statistics. Yeah.
That's what we in the teaching biz call it.
That's funny. So one more thing about diplomas. Two more things. One is before we go on to the kitty catification of the Western male, I wouldn't even say that a pussy, because cats are not puss pusses. Cats can be vicious and protect themselves. They're really sweet if you don't bother them. But if they're bothered, you know, they will fight you literally tooth and nail, as the description
goes.
Yeah,
I've. They have kitty, cats will mess you up, man.
They have self defense built in. Yeah. I never mess with them enough. But yeah, sometimes just petting them, they get overstimulated and bite you and claw you. But.
Yeah.
You have a natural right to self-defense because all animals have it. Humans is their brain, basically, to figure out how to use stuff that amplifies their weight. I mean, their strength, like throwing a rock. And, you know, a gun is just a modern way of throwing a rock, according to Boston Tea Party. And Boston Tea Party also stresses actual education over papers, pieces of paper. And he also has talked about the wussification of the Western male. So... about two more things about diplomas. One is the joke in my class of, my how to be a secretary class was that they didn't really have a graduation. They just handed you a diploma, but the graduation should have been, all right, class, today's graduation, put on your party hats and open the diploma document on your desktop and print it, and I'll sign it. It was printed in Microsoft Word, though. And it, you know, looks homemade. So that inspired me in my book, $30 Film School. It came with the first edition, a data CD extra, and then a data DVD on the second one. It had like, you know, the second one had like films made by graduates of the first one. But it also had some useful software and, you know, things for budget, you know, making a budget for movies and releases for actors. Mm-hmm. And it also had a printable diploma. So when you finish the book, you open up the DVD, the disc, and you print yourself a diploma for graduating $30 film school.
Nice.
Because, you know, these days, unless it's a STEM thing or a government job that demands, you know, like I think social workers demand, I think you have to have a degree of some kind, like an MSW. But so, Phil, you know more about the jobs in this world, the job industries. So explain STEM and explain what requires a diploma this year and these days and what is just a waste of hundreds of thousands of dollars going to college for.
Okay, so in general, STEM, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And in general, STEM field careers, which are things like high-level data analysts, mathematicians, statisticians, engineers, you know, all variety of engineers.
Rocket scientists.
Right. Those fields generally require a degree. There are sometimes if you're an engineer or a computer scientist, you can get away without a degree if you really put together a great portfolio.
Yeah, Google is probably more interested in your GitHub than in your degree, literally.
Right.
You know, exactly. GitHub being, for people that don't know, it's a site where you upload software that you've made and people can view it and download it and use it. Although they probably are interested in your also in whether you've showed up at a job or not before.
Right.
Meow. That's what a lot of a degree proves, is that you're capable of showing up the same place at the same time for years.
Yeah, it is.
Worms. And taking orders. Mark.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Oh, man. I'm so glad we're not recording.
Oh, so I had a I was having a getting into the majors thing, different majors for different jobs, and I actually have a joke for that I learned in college.
Cool.
And you know, it essentially goes that an engineer looks at it, at an object. He says, "How does this thing work?" A mathematician looks at it and says, "Why does it work?" A physicist looks at it and says, "What properties makes this work?" And as somebody with a liberal arts degree says, "Would you like fries with that?"
That sums it up, man. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a, you know, on that show.
The first two times I failed out of school was I was going for a liberal arts degree. So
on that show, Big Bang Theory, you know, the one about four scientists who are roommates and hilarity ensues. You ever seen that show? Oh, Jeremy. Well, what am I saying? Phil, do you know about Jeremy's sister? Jeremy's sister is
Missy what's Cooper. His name's
sister.
Sheldon, yeah, Sheldon's sister.
Sheldon Cooper's
twin
sister. She's an actor. You know about that, Phil?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
The girl that everybody goes gaga over on the show.
Yeah. Jeremy's sister. Yep.
Yeah. I just saw her today, actually.
Cool.
Still won't take a picture of the flag with her.
Still won't take a picture with the fun with the Bipcot.
I'm gonna get one with her kid. I got, you know, she brought, I met my nephew for the first time today. I'm gonna get a picture with him with it.
Cool. Bipcot Diapers Incorporated.
Exactly.
So on that show, like three of those four guys have PhDs and one of them has a master's degree, and they make fun of the one with the master's degree. And then he ends up working for NASA building the toilet for the International Space Station. And you know, they make fun of him, but at some point he's like, you know, I'm the only one who's actually doing anything of the four of you. You know, you're all studying theories. And it's kind of a good point.
Yep.
I watched some footage from the International Space Station this week, now that I have Roku and can actually watch YouTube like I'm watching TV. And man, space is stunning. Too bad it's NASA. I really can't wait until the non-government versions take over and do everything. But it's,
yeah,
it's
hopefully
really
their CGI will be much better.
Oh, come on, man. You don't believe that, do you?
No.
Yeah, you know, I actually looked at some moon footage this week and then looked at some International Space Station footage, and I'm like, the moon footage is so blurry, it's possible. It's like, I don't know this happened, but the International Space Station stuff, it's like, yep, I'm pretty sure this is happening. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'll have to check that out one day. I've never actually watched that. I'll have to check that out sometime.
Yeah, it's directed by Michael Bay, the new stuff, whereas the old stuff was directed by what's his name?
Stanley Kubrick.
Kubrick.
Yeah, yeah. Stanley Kubrick had a, you know, Stanley Kubrick had was too weird. Michael Bay is just, you know, big. He just goes big, so he's better.
Lots of explosions.
Lots of explosions. Hopefully not. Although one of the astronauts on the International Space Station did record and make a music video of him floating in the capsule singing the David Bowie song. You know, Space Oddity, Ground Control.
Oh, the Major Tom.
Yeah, and it was like basically he had a vote, and like people, you know, what song do you want me to record? Because they had a guy up there who was a musician as well as a.
Let me guess, number two is Rocket Man.
I don't know, but he's like, I thought it was kind of a weird choice. I mean, it's about an astronaut who dies in space.
Nobody knows what the song actually means. They just know some of the lyrics. That's one of those karaoke songs. No, I understand that. But
you know, tell my wife I love her. You know, it's he dies.
I know, but I'm saying that that's one of those songs that most people, if you ask them about this, oh sure, I know that song, and they may be able to hum a few bars of it.
Yeah.
But they don't know. They don't know the actual. They don't know the entire. Like, they wouldn't understand the story that follows along with the song. Well, you know, they can just name lyrics.
That astronaut is probably a mathematician, a different kind of mathematician, or a statistician. So he thinks about lyrics.
Well, also, I mean, if you follow through with Bowie's career, you find out later in Ashes to Ashes that that Major Tom didn't actually die, and he came home and got addicted to drugs. So,
a much better ending.
He came home and became a statistician on the GI Bill in England. But does he get it?
I didn't know that.
I think there could be an implication that that the whole thing was in his head on drugs. Or do you think it's pretty clear that...
That could be it,
you said. Yes. Yeah. It's Bowie. Who knows? He's great. But there's a lot of mystery. It's cryptic. Yeah. So the image for today's show says is a picture of a baby wearing an American flag dress and waving two American flags. And the caption on the meme I made is the statism is strong in this one.
Oh.
And then at the bottom it says hashtag statism is child abuse, which I want to talk about later if we get to it, but we're going to use that with the title. The show title is 2 out of 2 people confirm my bias, which kind of works with your picture. During the break, I asked people about their sex lives, and without getting too graphic, I said there's this theory that people, well, I didn't say the theory up front, but the theory was that people who are into kink, you know, like gentle or, you know, basically rough sex, rough consensual sex, and especially men who are tops in rough consensual sex tend to be self-employed. And Jeremy's self-employed. Without telling him that, I said, so are you self-employed? And he said, yeah. And I said, are you into kink? And he said, yeah. And I said, I feel the same thing. And he said, no. And I said, well, yeah, so that's, you know, Jeremy said, well, we have some statistics for the show. And Phil said, I don't mind you talking about my sex life, but I'm going to say that that's not statistics. And I said, what? It's not statistics to say 2 out of 2 people confirm my bias. And it's not.
Way to squeeze all the fun out of it, Phil.
What's a good sample group? I mean, I'm sure it varies for anything, but.
A good sample group for that?
Good size, yeah.
NP greater than or equal to 5?
What's this formula? What's this?
NP greater than or equal to 5. So whatever proportion of people follow your expectation,
so you know, 10.
The success in the trial. However many of those people, or the proportion of those people that actually do have a success, has to be greater than or equal to 5. And so does.
Would it be 10? Because there's two different things we're talking about, one versus the other. Or would it be 5?
It's actually a little bit more complicated, but it's a rule of thumb, NP greater than or equal to 5. And it depends on how many people, like, follow. Like if for the sample of, say, people who are into kink.
I'm already bored, but go on.
Well, so the sample of people that are into kink, say, the percentage of those that are self-employed, that percentage times the sample size must be greater than or equal to 5.
Ah.
So if it's a very low, if it's a very high success rate, then you have a small percentage that a failure rate, which also has to be higher than greater than or equal to 5. So the more you deal with this, like the bigger the sample size you're going to have.
Okay, listen.
We just need more people. I think that's what
we're
the bottom
smart.
Line is here, right?
This show has smart people, so you should believe everything we say. That's what that proves to me. All right.
Just trust in Phil.
Trust in Phil. What would Phil do? You know, I wanted to talk too about, I had a topic that we forgot last week, which was my new phrase, AOLs. It's a derogatory term for academic-only libertarians. And I'm not saying Phil is one because he knows some academic stuff. He's definitely not one. But I'm saying, like, the people who, when there's an intellectual argument, they either only reduce it to whether or not a person's behavior violates the non-aggression principle, and if it does not, it's okay, no matter how horrible the person was. And it's also like, you know, kind of what would Mises do is kind of the thing. Or, you know, with a lot of people now, it's like they've never heard of Mises. It's, you know, what would Koresh do, or what would someone else do? I did a show with Kokesh, Adam Koresh, which I think he's headed to. I did a show today with Ben Stone, which is only live so far. It'll be live on The Fiends Friday.
Sweet.
But it's only live now to people who are my Patreon subscribers, who donate, my Patriots. So if you want to hear stuff early, go be a Patriot. After I posted that, somebody made a $2 donation. Like every month, he's going to donate $2 so he can, you know, and I could set a minimum, but I'm not going to. You can hear my stuff for $2 a month.
Oh, I know, yeah. That's like my Patreon page. We don't have any minimum. Just give me a
maybe
buck.
Maybe I'll get hundreds of those. Hundreds of people donating $2 a month because it's the, you know, the least you can. It's basically subscribing to my secret stuff. And sometimes you'll get about one of those a month, maybe, and you'll get about maybe one. No guarantee, but, you know, so far it's been one of those a month and one once a month I record a Fiends with behind the background the chatter. Yeah, Behind the Fiends. Yeah. Oh, I've also got for the next two Patriots, you know, people on Patreon who donate. I'm reclaiming that word. It's P-A-T-R-E-A-O-T, Patriot. For my Patriots.
Taking it back, man.
The next two people that donate $20 a month or more, I will flip a coin between those two people, and the one that wins will win the shirt that I wore, the exact shirt that I wore in Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom when I was playing Sergeant Dan Banning, the cop.
And it hasn't been washed since.
It's been washed since. Yeah. I gave a bunch of clothes away this weekend. It was fun. It was kind of like having the house take a big dump. Got rid of like a trunk full of clothes that some no longer fit me and some just I don't wear anymore. Because I basically am living in sweatpants now because I like them because they're comfy. You know, I
don't own a pair of sweatpants.
I live in them. I dress
can't bring
like
myself to do it.
I dress like a middle-aged lesbian, basically. All right, so.
You don't wear Crocs, do you?
No, I wear boots, like almost cowboy boots, but not pointy. Like basically like Wyoming work boots that I can just slip on, don't have to lace. Nice. And then I have some sneakers.
Crocs would probably get you killed out there, wouldn't they?
It'd be too cold and windy to wear Crocs. They wouldn't get you killed. There's goofy people in Wyoming. There's leftists here. There's, you know, people, a lot of people from California. They used to all move to Oregon, but Oregon's full now. So sometimes people move here and try to change the laws. And, you know, state senators say, well, you know, if you want to change the gun laws here, maybe we should use them on you or something like that. Like that actually happened.
Whoa.
You know, like, yeah.
Well, I was thinking more about scorpion stings.
Rattlesnakes are a much bigger problem here than scorpions. It's not hot enough for scorpions.
Hmm.
Is it? I've never heard of a scorpion in Wyoming. There might be, but
I don't know.
I know like five people that have killed a rattlesnake, so they're definitely here. In California, L.A. had everything. Like we lived in L.A. outside of L.A. after I left L.A. and moved out with DJ in Agoura Hills, like 33 miles out. We had scorpions, coyotes, and rattlesnakes.
Oh my!
Yeah. Wow. Oh my. So. Pacification of the Western male. And, you know, people move to those kind of places and then demand the government kill the animals because they get upset when they move to where cougars live and a cougar comes.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
So. Men ain't what they used to be.
Are we going there now?
Yeah. So Boston Tea Party has a series of books called, God, what is it? It's his guide for young men. Modules for Manhood. He's come out with two of three of the books, and they're good stuff. I read part of one of them and found a couple places I was quoted and attributed. That was cool. This is what I read in most books. You know, and I really like
the stuff where it talks about you.
I really like books that have e versions of them because it's easier to find them. Like, you know, I actually bought the book by the printable gun guy and just searched till I found my name and then said, okay. Cool. But Boston's book, Nick really likes Boston's books. Boston sends me his books. I scan them and then send them to Nick, and then Nick and I review them and have Boston on the show. We've done that twice now. because they are, Nick is the target audience. You know, it's young men that want to make a way in the world and don't want to go to, you know, women's study class college and get a PhD in, you know, social
basket
work.
Weaving.
Basket weaving. Social work. Basket
underwater
weaving is useful.
Underwater basket weaving.
Underwater basket weaving is probably useful, too, because people probably pay to watch you do it.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Point taken. That's what they used to say. Like, you know, I remember the first time I heard that. I asked my sister, like, when I first discovered what a major was when I was like 10 and my sisters were in college. And I was like, what's your major? And she's like, yeah, basically underwater basket weaving, which meant, you know, liberal arts. But they all went on to get degrees. My one sister has a PhD in social work and she's unemployed from Cornell. She has an Ivy
bonus.
League, an Ivy League PhD. And she can't get a job because the job she had for 30 years after getting the PhD was working at Cornell, and they laid her off. And
a lot of
arts degrees, a lot of liberal arts degrees and humanities degrees are really just end up doing that. You either you're either working at a food joint or you're working in academia.
Yeah. And I mean, she wasn't fired. It was just like budget cuts, you know, like, oh, we don't have time for this basically welfare program anymore. It was a really good job. I mean, she was able to buy a house, buy land, you know, pay the taxes for years. And now she just she doesn't really have to work. But, you know, but that's kind of living like a possum living kind of life, you know, like canning foods, growing foods, hippie stuff. So let's see. So the Pussification of the Western Male. So on the back cover of these books, Boston kind of sums this up well, and he's a deep minarchist. He's not an anarchist, but his minarchy makes more sense than anybody's minarchy I've ever heard. It's very evolved and very deep, and he knows his stuff, and he knows more about guns than anyone I know. Read his book, Boston's Gun Bible, if you want to know about guns. He basically invented cop block before cop block existed with the book You and the Police, which influenced people to create cop block. You know, he's got a lot. He wrote a book called Moulin Labe, which is... when the Free State Project was forming, they were voting for what state to do, like 12, 15 years ago. And the top two states were New Hampshire and Wyoming. Wyoming was a very close second. And, you know, he just stayed here. He didn't move and started his own Free State Wyoming, which is much smaller. But and it's really like, you know, it looks like it doesn't exist because there's not much activity on the forum. But the thing is,
but it's still freer than the Free State.
Well, it is. And it's also older libertarians who would rather be out practicing, you know, shooting a dinner plate at 400 yards than talking on the Internet and gossiping, which is a lot of what, you know, I mean, Free State Project is a lot more than that, but a lot of that stuff is people living online. Whereas, you know, Wyoming,
Internet it's people anarchists,
have,
baby.
Have small meetups and get-togethers and go shooting and go have dinner together. And actually, a lot of it is one-on-one encrypted email. So I don't know what they're talking about, but it's, you know, it's not, oh, what, you know, what somebody's girlfriend said to somebody at the meetup in, you know, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
You can't build a free existence in a college town anyway, and you can't build one, you know, when Boston, Massachusetts is an hour away, I think.
Well, you can, but I think it's just a different culture in
general. Yeah, I mean, just living in Wyoming feels freer than, I think, being in New Hampshire, and I've spent time in both. So anyway, so the back cover of these books has a picture that says, "This used to be a man," and it's got a picture of like a fighter pilot from World War II in front of a plane looking like a statue, like propaganda painting kind of thing, like statuesque with, you know, his scarf blowing in the wind and the sun setting in the background, holding his helmet proudly. And it said, "This used to be a man," and then it says, "This is now what a man is." And it's that kind of famous picture that you've seen probably in a lot of memes of like some like metrosexual dude in his pajamas sipping cocoa.
Oh.
You seen that picture?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's going to lead into the next hour. Meow. Meow. About why that happened, how it happened, how you can keep it happening from you and your loved ones. Meow.
Worms.
That's my mantra. Worms. Worms. Worms.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Yeah. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're talking about the wussification of the Western male. You know, I'll do a shout out to Boston
girly man.
Party. What's that?
Little girly man.
Yeah, girly man. So I'll do a shout out to Boston Tea Party, who we were just talking about before the last hour, because we're on radio in Sundance now and Belle Fouche, which is.
Hello, Belle Fouche.
Sundance, that station at Sundance is like 40,000 watts or something, or 20,000 watts, and it covers one quarter of Wyoming, and it covers the quarter of Wyoming where most of the Free State Project is. You know, they pick the ruralest part of Wyoming, which is also one of the like windiest and most difficult to live in, which is, if you want freedom, live where it's difficult to live, because
where nobody else wants to.
Sunny climes where it never snows, you know, that's where the people who want it easy go. The liberals, yep. The people who want it handed to them. You know what I said? I've lived in San Francisco for a long time. I lived in L.A. for a long time. Then I moved to Wyoming. And my saying is, California would be a great place if it weren't for all the Californians, because it has everything. I mean, it's got, you know, mountains, deserts, rainforests, rich, fertile, growing land, cheap.
New York could be that way to a certain extent too. I mean, that doesn't have the desert and the rainforest, but it's got some beautiful land. It's got some decent farming stuff upstate. Yeah. It's actually got they do some farming out on the east end of Long Island, even though we got like nothing but sand out here for our soil. But they still do a pretty decent job out there, so it can be done. It's just the people are horrible.
I grew up in upstate New York. I grew up for my first 18 years in Westfield, New York, which is Western New York, about as far from New York City as you can be.
Yeah, exactly.
Practically, might as well
been out that way.
Just call it Pennsylvania, because that's pretty much what it is. But yeah, there are Pennsylvania Dutch in Westfield, New York. So the pussification of Western male, something Boston Tea Party has been talking against in writing in books for about 20 years. And first of all, I want to say this has become a popular concept with the alt-right. They agree with us on this for the most part, but we are not alt-right. We don't think that, any race is genetically inferior or superior to another in general. And anything's like any statistics, they like to pick statistics, and they pick statistics like, well, black people are incarcerated.
They like to cherry pick statistics.
Black people are incarcerated more. That's partially because of cops arrest black people more often, statistically. And it's also, I would say anything that one race or another is societally more in favor of, like, if a higher percentage of them are on welfare or whatever, part of that is because, society and things that basically all trace back to government, remnants of racism, which I would say aren't as strong of a thing. Institutional racism, I would say, is not as strong as institutional caretaking, and a lot of it comes down to, like, if black people get arrested more when they get out of prison, they can't get a job as easily, so they end up in welfare. And there's a lot of lazy people. There's a lot of lazy white people, too. And so this is not a racial thing. It's and I wouldn't even say it's an anti-feminist thing. Like, I actually like the original idea of feminism, of women's equality, but with all groups that are oppressed, this is another thing too, with all with races and with women, and when people are oppressed for a long time and then they get equality, they keep going past equality to where they want, a lot of them want something different than equality, which is, you know, dominance. And so that ain't good. It's like unions. You know, unions were a good idea back when factories were hiring police, private police, to machine gun protesters, and when people were working, you know, 15-hour days, and children had to work 15-hour days, and people worked, and if your arm got ripped off, they docked your pay, and, you know, charge you for the cleanup of the blood.
You're slowing down production, you know.
I know. You know, it's still kind of almost like that in the oil fields. You know, my wife's law firm does a lot of cases for workman's comp, which is not welfare. It's something you pay into. It's something you have to pay into, but it's something you pay into. So you deserve it when you get injured. But the oil companies are really bad about, like, allowing that because, you know, every time there's someone wounded on their job, you know, they, like, enough of that and their insurance goes up, that kind of things. So they are really... A lot of them are really good at denying someone was injured. Oh, that didn't happen. He did that at home, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, he must have been messing around with the oil rig in his backyard. I don't know.
Yeah, but also those kind of jobs pay so much that you'd be insane not to buy your own insurance if you had those jobs. Yeah. I mean, people without a high school diploma are making, you know, six figures in those jobs. Not so much anymore.
It ebbs and flows in that market. But that's what, I mean, the last one was, what was it? The North Dakota rush was the last one where everybody was headed up there. And like, people were making crazy money and keeping all of it because it like cost nothing to live up in North Dakota.
Well, then it did cost
less. Now it does.
North Dakota. And, I mean, it got to the point where like people were renting out a single room in their apartment for $2,000 a month, you know, in a house that you could, you know, in a house that they probably bought for $20,000 20 years ago. So another reason, and this gets back to our topic, another reason that they had to pay those people so much is because Western males have become so wussified that it was hard to find people who would work there. Which, you know, is the reason they had to go with high school dropouts a lot, because everyone that went to college thought they were too precious to get their hands dirty. And, you know, that is extraordinarily difficult, physically taxing work, even if you don't get injured. People are worth every penny they make. So
I can see them doing that, but...
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's... I wouldn't... And, you know, another thing, too, is about places like that. Like Wyoming is like this, too. It's kind of a single... You know, Wyoming kind of bet all their chips on oil. Like Casper... used to be called Oil City. That's the nickname for this city. And, you know, for a really small town, it has like really nice downtown and all the government buildings are really nice. All the local government buildings, you know, like, and, you know, basically what happened was they had a huge boom for like 50 years and it kind of trickled off pretty recently, actually. And they're thinking of like they've added a sales tax, you know, in Wyoming, you know, to, like on the internet, they've illegally started charging it on the internet. We did a whole show about that. You know, they're thinking about adding raising property taxes and adding a state income tax, which, you know, property taxes are lowish and they don't have a state income tax. But basically, you know, all of the bureaucrats got all this wonderful stuff and, you know, that they want to keep doing at people's expense, but now the money's not coming in, so they're thinking other ways to steal. It's horrible. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, that never works out well.
So, the Western male.
Not make a career off of stealing money from people.
Yeah.
Too.
Go work in the oil fields. Yep. So, oil prices went down. Economy tanked. People want to steal now. Government wants to steal. All right, so let's talk about the wussification of the Western male. Make it radio friendly here. So what's happened? What's happened in the past? Do you guys want to read from either one of these articles?
I can get my stats together if you want to read, Jeremy.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure. Get your stats together, Jared. Go ahead and read.
Well, I think I only have one of them, right? I have the one that's from quite a while ago.
From like 10 years ago. What's it called?
The wussification of the Western male.
With a P. All right, what's the year of it? You know what year it is?
It was actually written in 2003, it looks like.
That's it, yep.
Yes, so way back when. which is interesting. But so it starts off.
Who wrote it? It's Kim Dutwa, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Who's South African, I think. Yes. I believe.
So it starts off, we have become a nation of women. It wasn't always this way, of course. There was a time when men put their signatures to a document, knowing full well that the single act would result in their execution if captured, and in the forfeiture of their property to the state. Their wives and children would be turned out by the soldiers, and their farms and businesses most probably given to someone who didn't sign the document.
They're talking about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution here, I think. This is a pretty statist rant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's written by a small government Republican kind of guy, but it still stands, all of it, pretty much.
Most of it, yeah. It wasn't always this way, of course. Oh, yeah, sorry, I read that already. there was a time when men went to their certain death with expressions like, "You can all go to heck. I'm going to Texas."
You can say that.
Oh, can I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a quote.
All right. Yeah. Anyway,
go ahead.
That's a Davy Crockett quote that gets. He said it. He said it to the House, which was great. The House of Representatives, because Davy Crockett was a rep, wasn't he? He was a congressman, I believe, at some point.
Yep.
Anyway, so there was a time when men went to war, sometimes against their own families, so that other men could be free. And there was a time that when men went to war because we recognized evil when we saw it, and we knew when it had to be stamped out. There was even a time when a president of the United States threatened to punch a man in the face and kick him in the groin region because the man had the temerity to say bad thing about the president's daughter's singing. Pause. Who did that? Why don't I know that story? Or why don't I remember that story? Do you anybody know which president that was? Who did that?
But I prefer the term the House of Representatives. For the area where he threatened to kick.
Nice. We're not like that anymore. Now little boys in grade school are suspended for playing cowboys and Indians, cops and crooks, and all our other familiar variations of good guy versus bad guy that helped them learn at an early age what it was like to have decent men hunt you down because you were a lawbreaker. Now men are taught that violence is bad. Well, to a certain extent, it can be. That when a thief breaks into your house or threatens you on the street, that the proper way to deal with him is to give him what he wants instead of taking.
Oh, it was Andrew Jackson
who makes sense.
A horrible man anyway, who just went killing Indians for the heck of it. But go on.
Instead of taking a horsewhip to the rascal or shooting him dead where he stands. Now men's fashion includes not a man dressed in a three-piece suit, but a tight sweater worn by a man with breasts.
Claritin, now, dude. It does bad things.
Now, warning labels are indelibly etched into gun barrels. I have one of those. I have a revolver that has a, caution. Maybe.
Oh, that's
I got a great deal of it, though.
Like, throws rocks fast.
As if men have
throws rocks fast.
Dangerous things. Yeah. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Yeah. Oh. I was petting a cat, which would be good if you're talking about the most vacation American day. Cats are not puss pussies.
Yeah, most of them though. Some, yes.
Most, also, I like them better than dogs in a way, because dogs are slaves, cats have staff, but it's kind of like... cats would eat you if they could. You know, I really think they would.
Yeah, I do like that we're talking about this specific tagline on a show where three grown men meow like cats.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're reclaiming it. We're claiming the primal nature of cats that does not include the puss in this. Yeah. So
we're reclaiming wussy with the silent P.
Yes.
Silent P. All right. So a couple things. We're not going to read this whole article. We're going to talk about
it. No, it's very long.
You know, yes. That's what a puss would do, is just read the article. Yeah, we're going to talk about the article. We have our own manly thoughts.
But just to hit a couple more quick points, right where we left off before. Now, men are given Ritalin as little boys so that their natural aggressiveness, curiosity, and restlessness can be controlled instead of nurtured and directed. And then he talks about this the problem with television and ads and stuff and media and how they've been directed, and talks about a specific Cheerios ad, and. He's very angry. There's a lot of cursing. I'm just going to skip ahead to the actual ad.
He gets
very angry. So apparently, I guess this is back in the 80s or 90s that he saw this ad that made him so mad. Or no, the late 2000s, right? Yeah, early 2000s rather. So little girl, and he makes sure to note it's not a little boy. Daddy, why do we eat Cheerios? And the dad says, because they contain fiber and all sorts of stuff that's good for the heart. I eat it now because of that. And then his daughter says, did you always eat stuff that was bad for your heart, Daddy? And then the dad, I guess, chuckling, I did until I met your mother. And then the mom, in quotations, it says, not humorously, Daddy did a lot of stupid things before he met your mother. And
yeah,
and his comment, the author's commentary on this is, now every time I see that TV ad, I have to be restrained from shooting the TV with a 45 Colt. If you want a microcosm of how men have become less than men, this is the perfect example.
It really is, and that is so common in shows like the man is often the brunt of the joke.
We've discussed that before. It was like Married with Children was kind of like the epitome right?
I thought about it too, and Married with Children actually was the showrunner, like, you know, the creator and showrunner of it was a woman. And I think she was really brilliant too, or else just felt this way, because it wasn't, he was always kind of the brunt of the joke, but he kind of like won in his own ways sometimes. And he was also like married to a pretty hot woman and was like, ugh, go away, quit trying to have sex with me. You know, he wasn't he wasn't groveling to have sex the way a lot of men are portrayed. He was kind of like a married man.
He was always pushing her. Yeah, he was always pushing her off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one great thing about that show is both of them were screw ups. And and both of them had their little wins here and there. Huh?
Yeah. Well, the son was a loser, but he was kind of the voice of reason, if anything. That's kind of
Bud was supposed to be the smart one.
Yeah. My friend got to marry Kelly Bundy too. My friend Martine Lenoble married,
which is a pretty sweet
Christina
deal.
Aguilera, yeah,
not Aguilera, yeah. Applegate.
Applegate.
Aguilera was the singer. That was a little bit younger.
Yeah. Although she was a Mousketeer, wasn't she, Aguilera? Somewhere.
I think she was. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. She was.
All right. I was like, when I heard that, I was like, they still had Mousketeers. I thought that went out like when I was a kid. You know, in the 60s.
No, they kept going.
Yeah, they kept going. All right, so
Disney and his copyright, man.
We got some. I know. Well, he extended. He got.
I know. I just did a rant about this on my show the other night.
Yeah.
Anytime the topic comes up. Yeah.
He's the reason copyright exists, and he's the reason that it keeps getting extended every time it does.
I don't think he's the reason it exists.
Well, to be fair,
the reason it exists is because of the Constitution. It's in there. Do you know that? It doesn't say the word copyright, but it says like the duties of the federal government, and one is to provide protections for a period of time for advances in sciences, arts, you know, basically covers the creation of copyright and patent and trademark, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, I should have said he made it popular. That's what I should have. That's the phrase I should use.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, whenever you're arguing with somebody about regulation, and they want to bring up some sort of market failure, so-called market failure, it I think a large portion of the time, the reason why this thing happens in the so-called free market and you can't find another direct government action is because it's because of patents. And that's what's behind it.
I mean, yeah, like all the leftists are saying it's so horrible that, you know, that guy tripled the meow, price of the meow, the medicine. Yeah, but it's because of patents.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Talk statistics, right? Isn't that your bag, Phil?
Yes, it is. Go along with this article we were talking about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I pulled up a few numbers on what essentially amounts to a war against boys in public schools, and I know that's a little hyperbolic, but. There's some Pew Research on college admission rates out of high school, which favor women by somewhere averaging close to 10% for like every ethnic category. And that's not even taking into account the fact that since 1980, men have, boys have consistently dropped out of high school at a higher rate than girls have. And if you look into the, you know, one of the factors for this might be the ADHD epidemic, in which boys are more often diagnosed with ADHD, and there's
a diagnosing epidemic, not an actual epidemic. More
absolutely, yeah. And so one study I found said that like actual therapists are about twice as likely to diagnose a male symptom child. Vignette. There was a study where therapists were given just vignettes, which are just kind of like lists of symptoms and and behaviors and stuff, and they were twice as likely to diagnose a boy than a girl. And a survey in 2004 among teachers, 82% of teachers surveyed believed that ADHD was more prevalent in boys. And here's a lovely little nugget. In 2005, a study looking at gender differences in ADHD found higher rates of oppositional defiant disorder and conduct disorder in males.
That's me.
Or ODD. Kip Fiasin. Ask your students, ask your school psychologist by name. We have an ad for something called Compliacin, and it's a joke ad. That sounds like a very real ad that plays on this show and on radio. That Nima Vidati and my wife and I wrote it, and my wife and I voice it. And you've probably heard it if you listen to the show. And it's kind of making fun of, you know, over prescribing of medication, but it's also kind of making fun of the idea of ODD, oppositional defiant disorder, being applied to people who just don't like authority when the authority's not good. You know, like literally, if you're in class, you know, if you're in public school and you know you're writing essays about why taxation is theft, and you know you ask questions like, why should I listen to the teacher? I didn't choose to be here. You know, I'm here because of geography. I'm here because this exists. My parents, you know, they're working. They can't homeschool me. They're you know, it's the only thing they can afford to do. You know, why should I have to obey the teachers when they tell me stupid things to do or when they're wrong? And if you write essays like that, which are completely rational to write, you will probably, you know, that'd be one step towards getting medicated, because you'd be, you know, it would be almost all the symptoms of ODD.
Yep.
And pretty ODD much. To be clear, it's different than, I forget the other diagnosis, but there's a diagnosis that's basically like ODD combined with violence, you know, like kids who have ODD but also, you know, hurt animals or hurt other children or, you know, break property that isn't theirs. That there's another diagnosis for that. I forget what it is, but you know, ODD, it's like clear in the definition of it that it does not include violence. And so really it just comes down to, you know, you don't like authority. And what rational person would like an authority, you know, a leader they didn't pick telling them what to do? It's kind of funny too, because people hear me talk like that and they're like, well, you have a problem with authority, boy. Like, yeah, I do. And that has historically been often diagnosed as, you know, there's something wrong with you. But pretty much everybody who advances society in any way has that. You know, I mean, the people who built the computer industry have that. The people who, you know, built rock and roll have that. I mean, you know, Hendrix got kicked out of the army basically for breaking his ankle when he came out of the when he jumped out of a plane, but also because he didn't want to be there, you know. So being defiant is not a bad thing if the thing you're being defiant against is not a good thing, I would say.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it's a pretty good rule.
Yeah, but pretty much, you know, I think a lot of the reason that boys are overdiagnosed with ADD is basically like boys will be boys is a diagnosis now for ADD. You know, boys, like, you know, all things the same, you know, if they're reared not that much differently, like boys and girls, like boys tend to want to jump and run and explore and poke and break and burn. And, you know, it's part of like, well, go ahead.
No, I was just, yeah, they do. Well, I agree with you. They do want to do all those things, but the symptoms, the definition that they've come up with is essentially they're describing a little boy. That's what they describe with the symptoms of this, of ADHD and ADD. You know,
Phil, do you want to pull up the Wikipedia for ADHD and OCD and read quickly the synopses of those? And pretty much everyone that we know that we like, let me know when you have them.
I don't know about OCD. Oh, you mean ODD? Because I was going to say OCD. OCD. I had to overcome that. I overcame that on my own.
What's Jim has? Jim has something too.
Jim has ADD, I believe. Just
You know how I learned the word prognosis? When I was in seventh grade, I overheard my gym teacher asking my teacher, like, I've always had really good hearing. I mean, I've got some hearing problems now, but I still can hear really quiet things. They didn't think I could hear them. It was down a hall. There was no one else in the hall. And they were looking at me and didn't know I was looking at them. I had long hair. You could have long hair in seventh grade back then. And it was in my eyes and they didn't think I was looking at them. And I overheard them say, so how's the kid with the prognosis? And they were both looking at me.
Oh.
And so I went to the library and dictionaried, you know, Googled prognosis.
Paper Googled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember those days.
Phil, we got some information here. Phil's a resident statistician and researcher, suddenly.
For ADHD, you have a child with ADHD inattentive type would be, well, that's not the most common. So let's jump to the hyperactive impulsive type.
These are all things that people get medicated commonly for. So,
right. So the hyperactive ADHD kid may fidget and squirm in their seats. Talk
I'm doing
nonstop.
It right now. I'm literally.
Me
I'm
too.
This is all me. Yeah. Go ahead.
Talk nonstop. Dash around, touching or playing with anything and everything in sight.
I do that.
Wow. Have trouble sitting still during dinner, school, doing homework, and story time.
Who sits during dinner? I'm like, what?
Yeah. I do now that I have kids, but before that, no, I never used to.
And what
be
are the other
constantly
ones? What was after
in
that?
Motion, otherwise known as fit.
Yeah,
fit as in shape. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Have difficulty doing quiet tasks or activities, also known as male. Be very impatient.
Most musicians have all this too, and a lot of scientists that, like, you know, vastly changed the world. Like Apple guy had all these. What's his name?
Apple guy.
Yeah,
Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, Jobs. Although I don't think that Bill Gates had all these. He had some, but I think he was autistic. I think he's autistic. He was quiet and kept to himself and read a lot. You know, Jobs went out and took acid and beat women and. I'm not saying that's good.
Asperger's, maybe. I don't know about autistic.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, Asperger's is on the autistic spectrum.
I know, but it's there is a distinction.
Yeah, yeah.
I have it. I'm allowed to talk
about
these things.
Well, Bill Buepert, who's quite a man's man, I would say. You know, he's been a what should we call it? You know, in the army. Officer in the army, mm-hmm. which, you know, whether or not you like the army here or there, like, you don't get to be an officer in the army by being, you know, stupid or infirm. You know, it's a go-getter kind of thing. And he hates authority, and he is, he has Asperger's. And his quote to me was that the computer industry was built by Asperger's, that without it, you wouldn't have it. And it does enable people, like, it makes it harder for people to, you know, be sociable and be happy in crowds and chat a lot in person with people sometimes. But it also, like, gives them skills. A really good example was, and I think this is true, the other day, you know, the lefty who hit the righty with the bike lock and made him bleed. I don't even know if it was a righty. It was actually some guy, like, pleading for sanity at that thing. And this, you know, some lefty in a balaclava came up and hit him on the head. And suddenly, basically, like 4chan, it was the poll part of Reddit, which is a lot of 4chaners, I guess. Like, they created a face recognition system. Like, they figured out who he was, and they were correct based on his eyes. So they somehow figured out who he was. And, wow. You know, it's actually some professor at a university in California, and he's probably going to lose his job if not, you know, be charged, not go to jail. And, you know, so I saw this comment thread, and somebody's like, God, how did they figure out who it was? And somebody said, autism plus technology.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, it's the same kind of thing with the, you know, how they allegedly tracked down Shia LaBeouf's flag and tortured him with that, you know, through the recognition of weather patterns and planes.
Yeah, because there are websites that have, like, the flight, the current live flight pattern of every plane over America at any time, or at least jets, you know, like commercial planes.
Yeah. And now they're trying to find him in whatever Scandinavian country he's in by the pattern of wood on the cabin that he's staying in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or if you believe my buddy Bodhi, this is all actually this entire thing is actually an elaborate ruse by Shia LaBeouf, and he's actually in on the entire thing, and it's a performance arts piece.
Hey. Worms.
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 Meow.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. Catmuff is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help Catmuff help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at Catmuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. Catmuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
So Freedom Fiends, Redemption in Third Back, we're going to talk about how to not be a puss-puss, how to recognize if you are one. You know, I want to say one other thing about this. The people of slash poll, which is slash politics, which is the people that always seem to find, you know, who's hiding behind what mask and expose them on the internet. And it's usually lefties they're exposing, or just people who don't do good things like lefties. But I think often, and thinking about this, like, I can't think of a lot of times that, like, lefties have doxed somebody. You know, they want to hit things and blow things up. They're not as the people that usually dox people that can fall down the wormholes and have the analytical minds to find out who these people are usually either conservative, libertarian, or even apolitical. You know, like a lot of the people on 4chan don't have a, like, they don't have a pony in the fight. Like, they just want to mess with what's going on. And lately, they want to mess with liberals because they're a lot easier to irk than libertarians and some conservatives.
You know, maybe that's why liberals are so terrified of being doxxed, because they're afraid that
they can't do it.
Their tactics are going to be used on them.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Also, you know, it doesn't really matter that much if a leftist is doxxed, because they don't own houses. They can move really quickly if they need to. They just throw their dirty clothes into a backpack and walk out the door.
Well, unless stolen property.
It's all stolen property anyway.
Yeah. Well, unless you're talking about people like that professor, you know, those people usually own. Well, they may not own.
Yeah. Oh, he had a. Oh, I saw. I googled his house from the doxing. It's really nice. It's like a, you know, $800,000 house in a really.
See, that's
nice
what I'm saying. Like those type of leftists. Those people may have some stuff.
What I thought was funny too. Someone pointed out the irony of, you know, a communist hitting somebody with a symbol of private property, a bicycle lock.
Yeah. A bicycle lock, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, really, when it comes down to, I mean, you know, those commies usually are little suburbanite brats anyway.
Yeah. I was a commie when I was 12. You know, when you're 12, the thought that everything should be free and nobody should go without, no matter what, makes sense, because it's a childish idea.
Yeah.
So,
see, I never went that far. I was all about things being free. Like, for me, I didn't really care if anybody else went without, though.
Yeah, well, that's what it all comes down to, commies, too. And really, like, you know, a lot of commies don't have...
Well, I'm just more honest about it, then.
A lot of leftists don't have jobs, you know. I would believe... I'd need some statistics to see this, and it'd be actually a pretty hard one to figure out. But I've heard, and this makes sense, that, you know, one reason that, you know, the lefties were all proud that they had more people at the Obama inauguration than Trump had. But, you know, someone pointed out, like, lefties don't have jobs a lot of times. They can go take the afternoon off or take the week off to travel to D.C. Yeah.
Of course.
So I guess if Phil said that a sign of manhood is if you can change a tire, and I can change a tire. If you guys change tires,
well, I can do that. Yes,
I didn't so much say that as
I know
the lack of being able to change a tire is a sign of a lack of manhood.
Yeah, I remember the Red Hot Chili Peppers singer he's kind of manly in a way, but he's kind of femmy in a way too. But he's certainly a ladies' man, and you know he's a modern man. He's one of those men that can feel too, I guess, which is okay. But in his autobiography, he said that when he first got money as a rock star, when he got signed, he went out and bought his first car, and you know, bought a new car and drove it. And one day it just, you know, he put gas in it, but one day it just died on the freeway, and he had to call a friend, and his friend's like, "Do you ever change the oil in it?" And he's like, "What? You know,
they got no oil.
What's oil?
Cars need oil." Yeah.
Californians.
Yeah, I've changed the tire. I changed my first tire on the LA freeway. Wow. On the 101. Is that the LA freeway? The 101, you know, like during rush hour, which is not pleasant. Not the freeway. I mean, I coasted to the off, you know. Actually, I coasted almost off, and a cop came along and nudged me with his car off the highway and then left me there. But yeah, that's fine. It was helpful. Anybody could do it. It's like the most help I've ever gotten from a cop, probably.
But yeah, in math, we call it necessary but not sufficient. Changing a tire for manhood.
Ah, I like it.
Yeah. Should at least be able to do really basic things with your car. I mean, heck, most of the women I know can do that too. So if you can't do that.
So to be a man, don't be a puss, but don't be mean. You don't have to be mean to be a man.
No.
You don't have to be callous.
You don't have to be violent.
That's true. Unless violent comes to you, then you should, to protect yourself.
Well, you should. That's what it takes. Self-defense is a priority.
Yeah. All right, man. It's been a good show, guys.
Worms.
All right. I talk all the time, so it helps me. I can't stop talking. Because I have ADHD, HD, ADHD, AD.
Don't we all?
ADHD, OCHD, ODD.
EIO.